Chapter 13. Puzzled. It was almost like a family reunion that evening at Andrew's, aside from the sad fact that James was missing. Peter's five nephews and nieces were a lively, friendly lot and overjoyed to have visitors. Lisa was a little plumper than Peter last remembered, and her brown curly hair was much shorter than before, but she was as energetic and radiant as ever. Peter had always enjoyed his sister-in-law's spontaneity and openness. After they spent a couple of hours talking and becoming reacquainted, yawns became contagious, and everyone opted for an early night. Peter fell asleep easily in a pink, frilly room. He was completely exhausted. However, shortly after dawn the next morning, someone started bouncing on his bed. Esther, his youngest niece, had willingly given up her room for him the night before, but now she was wide awake and wanting someone to play with. For a while, Peter asked her questions, tickled her toes, and read her one story after another. But when Esther decided she was hungry, Peter followed her into the kitchen to help her find something to eat. It was only 6:30, and no one else was awake. Esther prepared herself a large bowl of cereal, sprinkled it generously with brown sugar, and then sat down to watch TV. Peter wasn't interested in cartoons, but the sunlit patio chairs on the deck looked very inviting. A few minutes later, Peter was sitting at the patio table, basking in the warm rays of the early morning sun. He was looking forward to doing the second study sheet on 1 John. From what Thomas had said, this one dealt with the question of how Jesus came in the flesh. The study centred around the passage in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1-3, which said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world." As Peter worked through the various questions, he took careful note that God had specifically warned his believers to test everything they heard. Even when the Apostle Paul was preaching in Berea, God commended the listeners who received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Peter was amazed. The Apostle Paul had the Holy Spirit gifts. Was it still important for an apostle's words to be examined against the Old Testament scriptures? Peter noticed that in his second letter to Timothy in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul assures believers that you have known the Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, the Bible is the means by which wisdom, doctrine, correction, and instruction can be obtained. The divine words are able to make a man complete, to bring him under salvation. Peter had always assumed that the Bible was the authority on religious matters, so he didn't find this concept difficult to grasp. His difficulty had been whether or not he wanted to listen to what God had to say. When he reached the last page of the study and filled in all the clues, Peter still wasn't sure what in the flesh was all about. However, he leaned back with his hands behind his head and reviewed what he'd learnt. Whatever or whoever Antichrist is, he thought, there has to be some sort of opposition to Jesus Christ or an attempt to take his place. There has to be some kind of miracles by which many people are deceived. Antichrists originated from Christianity in the first century, yet Antichrist is still present when Jesus returns to the earth. In the past, it involved many false teachers who held wrong beliefs about the relationship between God and Jesus and denied that Jesus came in the flesh. Is there one Antichrist or many today? And is this false teaching about Jesus still being promoted? Whatever can it be? For a long time, Peter sat on the deck pondering the matter. Is there some obscure cult that I don't know anything about? He wondered. But then the verses he'd read seemed to imply something on a grand scale, something involving many. If only he could figure out what the Apostle John meant by in the flesh. This is supposed to be the test case to identify Antichrist's teaching, he reasoned. So surely it has to be something important, a teaching I can recognize. If only Thomas had told me. Maybe he will in 2 weeks, but that's so long to wait. Ah, Peter suddenly knew what he could do. I can ask Andrew, he thought. Surely Andrew will know the answer. Peter got up from the chair with his study sheets in hand and headed back into the house. Almost everyone was up now, and Andrew's wife Lisa was getting breakfast ready. What were you doing out there? Andrew asked curiously. You look like you were hard at work on something.
Oh, just a little Bible study, Peter replied in a nonchalant way.
Bible study? Andrew and Jim echoed simultaneously. Peter looked around. Everyone was gazing at him in surprise. His mum looked elated.
Wow, Peter, that's great, Andrew exclaimed. I didn't realize.
Then he stopped mid-sentence. So what were you studying? Peter wasn't ready to tell the others that he'd decided to turn back to God, even though from their expressions he could tell that they were already jumping to that conclusion. There was plenty of issues to sort out before anyone got too excited about him. He tried to answer as casually as he could.
Well, Mum introduced me to the Left Behind series, he explained, which I found entertaining. And then Thomas Lovell gave me some study sheets on Antichrist that I thought I'd work through. But the trouble is, I'm stuck on the most important part.
What's that? Andrew inquired, barely containing his excitement.
In what way did Jesus come in the flesh?
For a moment, Andrew looked puzzled.
You're going to have to give me the context, Pete. Let's see these study sheets.
Breakfast is ready, love, Lisa smiled. Why don't you eat with the rest of us first, and then you'll have time to go over things with your brother. However, it didn't quite happen like that. Once breakfast was over, the phone began to ring, and almost every call was for Andrew. Then there was a dedicated hour of family time, which his kids weren't going to let him forget, and after lunch they decided to visit James again. So it wasn't until later that evening that the two brothers shut themselves into the office for an opportunity to talk. Before Andrew looked over the study sheets, he laid his hand on Peter's arm and spoke earnestly.
Pete, I'm so thrilled that you're doing this study. I hope that...
Once again, Andrew stopped in the middle of his sentence, looking at Peter with deep compassion. Peter was sure he knew exactly what Andrew wanted to say. He knew they were all hoping that he would decide to call himself a Christian once again. Nodding rather indifferently, he said, "Yeah, it's a good study. I'm sure you'd enjoy it." Andrew picked up Peter's notes. Watching him, Peter could see that his brother was skimming through all the answers he'd written in. Every now and again, Andrew would check something out in the Bible on his desk.
"Very interesting," he remarked several times.
"I've never done a study like this on Antichrist," Andrew finally admitted, laying down the papers when he came to the last page. "I've read the Left Behind series and a few other books on the subject, and they've been fantastic, but..." He sighed heavily. "Sometimes I'm just too busy with all that goes on in the church to really look into things."
"So have you ever thought about how Jesus came in the flesh?" Peter prodded.
"Not thoroughly," Andrew replied, looking up at his bookshelf. He reached for a beige-coloured volume. "But I'm sure the NIV Study Bible will have some good notes on it."
"Isn't it better to look at all the places where the word flesh occurs and get the Bible's definition?" Peter asked. After all, that was what Thomas had suggested.
"But you tried that, didn't you?" Andrew clarified. When Peter nodded, he continued. "It's a good little exercise to go through, but whenever I get stumped, I turn to a well-recognized authority. The NIV hasn't let me down yet."
Peter waited patiently as Andrew read through the commentary in 1 John chapter 4. After only one day in his brother's house, he was beginning to appreciate the enormous stress Andrew was under. Being the pastor of such a large church was a full-time responsibility. When Andrew wasn't preparing his next sermon, giving special courses in the evening or counselling those in dire need, he was likely to be away with his family leading Christian retreats. On top of all that, the phone rang almost constantly. Without an answering machine, Peter was sure his brother would have gone insane.
"All right," Andrew murmured, still looking at the text. "So... those who denied that Jesus came in the flesh were the Gnostics back in the first century. I've heard of them before."
"And what did they believe?" Peter asked curiously.
"Well, it says here, Christ's true humanity was denied in two ways. Some said that Christ only seemed to have a body, a view called docetism, from the Greek dokio to seem, and others said that the divine Christ joined the man Jesus at baptism and left him before he died, a view called Cerinthianism, after its most prominent spokesman, Cerinthus. This view is the background of much of 1 John."
"Read that again," Peter begged.
Andrew was happy to oblige. When he finished, he tried to explain the theory in his own words.
"I think it's saying, Pete, that the Gnostics denied Jesus' humanity, or that he came in the flesh in two ways. One group said that he was only a man, not God, while others said that God only dwelt in Jesus from the moment he was baptized until his death on the cross."
"But just a sec," Peter said with a puzzled frown. "If that's what the Gnostics believe, then it sounds to me like their teaching was denying Jesus' divinity,
not his humanity. Isn't that right? Andrew read the comments over again and then closed up the Bible and put it back on the shelf. I'll have to do some more research, he said wearily. For a moment or two, Andrew rested his face in his hands while an anxious frown knotted his brows. Then he looked back up at Peter. Be careful with this, he said, pointing to the study sheets. There are a lot of strange ideas out there, and I'd hate for you to be led astray. Peter tried hard not to let his disappointment show. He had truly believed his brother would have the answer to such an important question, and now not only was Andrew casting the question aside indefinitely, but it seemed to Peter that his brother was trying to discourage him from searching it out. How can I be led astray by studying the Bible? He asked in confusion. With a heavy sigh, his brother picked the pages back up. Pete, you've been gone so long, you're essentially new to the faith. Andrew was trying to choose his words kindly and carefully. I'm not sure that you have the background you need to study the Bible on your own. It's not an easy book to understand. There's allegory and figures of speech and... Maybe Andrew was right, Peter thought, as his brother continued talking. Who am I to think I can figure this out on my own? Perhaps I should leave it to those with experience. But then Peter remembered what he had learned from his study. But we're to test the spirits, he protested. God commended the people in Berea because they tested everything Paul said with what was written in the scriptures, and Paul was an apostle with the Holy Spirit gifts. Surely the way to sort through strange ideas is to see if they agree with the Bible. Such rationale made sense to Peter, but Andrew only shook his head. The Bible says there will be a strong delusion, Pete, sent from the devil himself. Only those who love truth will escape. It seemed to Peter that loving truth meant putting in the time and effort to search for it, but before he could inquire any further, Andrew said, Unfortunately, I've got to run. There's a marriage seminar at the church tonight, and I'm giving it. Peter's disappointment multiplied. Not only would his question go unanswered, the discussion he had waited for all day was being terminated very quickly. They hadn't even had an hour together. But Peter consoled himself with the realization that they still had at least 2 weeks. In the meantime, there were other things that Peter had to do. Hey, Andrew, he called out as his brother opened the door to leave. Would you mind if I worked on your computer? I need to check my emails. That'll be fine, Andrew replied, grabbing a small slip of paper from off his tidy desk and scribbling something down. Here's the password. So that night, while Andrew was out, Peter caught up on a week's worth of correspondence. Not only did he spend an hour replying to emails from his clients in Australia, but with Lisa's permission, he made 3 phone calls as well. He contacted Rose first, explaining what had happened to his brother and requesting a rain check on their date. Their conversation went on for over an hour, and as they talked, they developed an exciting plan for Rose to visit Australia in December. Apparently she'd always wanted to go there. Then Peter called Jono, his foreman, back home to check how the business was going. None of the guys who worked for him knew much about computers, so Peter had no choice but to use the phone. However, aside from an embarrassing underestimate in how many loads of topsoil were needed at a new development site, so far everything was going well. Peter told Jono what had happened to James and passed on a few requests he'd received from their customers over the internet. Then on a sudden whim, he asked, Say, Jono, what would you think if I decided to stay here another month? Could you manage the guys? Sure, mate, no worries. As long as you don't ask us to do any designs or stuff like that, we can keep the crews going. Peter hesitated a moment before making a final commitment. Another 4 weeks wouldn't make that much difference, he hoped. Even if the paperwork didn't get done and a few customers delayed their payments, it wouldn't ruin his business. And really, he didn't feel he had much of a choice. There was no way he was going to leave Canada before James was out of the hospital. That's probably what I'll do then, mate, he decided on the spot. And Jono, if you could hire someone who knows how to use a computer, they could email all the paperwork to me. That way I could probably keep up with things from over here, at least for a while longer. Jono seemed to think a computer-savvy secretary was a good idea, so Peter left him to work it out. His next phone call was to the airlines to extend his ticket.